We're going to leave our study on the book of Hebrews for a week because I think in view of all that's happened this past week, it would be good and appropriate that I speak to you from Psalm 46 this morning. This is the word of the Lord, Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling, Selah. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, she shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress, Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes war cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress, Selah. As I was thinking about the events of this past week, and I began to think about this psalm, I thought about a picture that I had seen on the internet of a lighthouse being engulfed by huge waves from a storm that was battering it. Waves from the storm had completely engulfed the base of the lighthouse, and they were crashing up against the walls of the lighthouse. At the back of the lighthouse, there was a door with a man standing there, and the storm and the water were raging all around him. I thought that was a pretty good image of what things feel like right now for so many. The storm is swirling all around us. And in these times, I see our church, our lives, as a lighthouse of hope in this storm-battered world. Sometimes those storms may seem like they're going to sweep us away. But now is the time for us not to shrink back in fear, but to stand strong and proclaim the hope of Christ to the world around us, even as this current storm rages on. The last days have been very difficult, and I, frankly, have been torn about what we ought to do as a church. A lot of churches are not opening their doors this weekend. We always need to remember that God is with His church and with His people. But God with a church or a person does not excuse us from being responsible and prudent. When storms come, sometimes it can get very hard to decide what's wise and prudent and what is foolish. There's a fine line between faith and folly, and I know because I have crossed that line many times in my life. Christians should behave prudently. We should count the cost of what we're doing. God is more merciful than we could ever dare to dream, but we should not presume upon that mercy. But Christians also should not shrink back or live in fear. And distinguishing between faith and foolishness can sometimes be very hard. I don't blame any church for closing today. We almost did. Many churches have congregants that are elderly. And this virus is spreading and it's undetected, and there are not enough hospital beds in many communities right now if the elderly get sick. There probably aren't enough hospital beds in our community either. But I'm not sure that it rises to the level of panic that people are feeling today. So many are fearful and behaving fearfully. We were in Sam's Thursday afternoon, and it was packed with people. And we went to the back of the store, and there was no toilet paper, no paper towels. It's times like this we need to take a step back. We need to remind ourselves that God is still on the throne. He is sovereign. The God of the universe who creates all things, the God who brings bread from heaven, who brings water from the rocks, who raised all of us from the dust of the earth, is still in control, even as the storms rage all around us. And storms, honestly, are a fact of life on this earth. Look at verses 2 and 3 again of Psalm 46. psalmist writes, "Therefore we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling." And then down in verse 6, "The nations rage, kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts." I don't care who you are. I don't care how good of life you might think you have right now. Sooner or later, storms are going to come crashing into your life, or at least into the world all around you. Waves of trouble are going to threaten to overwhelm you, and it's not a question of if. It's simply a question of when. Storms are a fact of life for all of us. Like verse 2 says, there are times in our lives when it's going to seem like our world is getting turned upside down. Times when the earth seems to be giving away right under our feet. Times when all of our plans and preconceived ideas are abruptly changed in the bat of an eye, just like happened this week. Sometimes the waters roar and the mountains shake, and it seems as though everything is against us and everything's out to destroy us. Being a Christian, I want you to know this, it doesn't exempt you from the storms. In fact, it may be that the storm winds are going to grow stronger just because you are a Christian. Jesus told us in John 16:33 that in this world you will have trouble. When I was a boy, I heard my uncle say that a certain team was a lead pipe cinch to win the World Series. I don't remember if he was right or not, but I have never forgotten that phrase for some reason. That phrase is actually a gambling phrase, and it means something is guaranteed to happen. I want to tell you this morning, it is a lead pipe cinch that storms are going to come crashing into your life, and you shouldn't be surprised by them. If we would just read the book of Revelation, we would see what to expect out of this life. Wars and rumors of wars, famines and earthquakes, all kinds of terrible things happening. The question isn't whether or not storms and waves are going to crash into our lives. The real question is, how are we going to react when they come? I believe there's a reason why God leaves us here on earth after we get saved. And that reason is for us to show the hope of Christ to the world around us. When the world has trouble, God oftentimes allows us to have trouble too, so that people can see very clearly the difference Christ makes in our lives. As I was looking on the internet for images of lighthouses, I came across the real story behind that picture that I found that I described to you a few moments ago. The real story is this. The man had heard a helicopter off in the distance, and he went outside thinking it was a rescue helicopter to wave at it. But it wasn't a rescue helicopter, it was a news helicopter shooting news footage for that evening's news. And when he realized it wasn't a rescue helicopter, he ran back into the shelter of the lighthouse just before another wave hit it. The truth is, these waves are so enormous that on our own, in our own strength, we cannot stand against them. And I want you to know, God doesn't expect you to, and he doesn't want you to. When the storms come, what God wants us to do is run to the shelter of his arms, knowing that even in such hard times, God always has a plan in the midst of the storm. We're very familiar with Romans 8:28 and 29. We use it all the time. In those verses, God promises us that he is in control of our lives, even when we can't see it, even when it doesn't feel like it at all. God is using every circumstance in our life to bring good to those of us who belong to him. Paul writes, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose." God doesn't send the storms to sweep us away. He sends them so that in the midst of them, we're made to look more and more like the image of Christ, our Savior. You see, right after Paul writes in verse 28 that he works out everything for the good of those who love him, he goes on to say, "For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. That's what God's in the process of doing with each of us. It may not seem like it, but as horrible as the storms may be, if you love God, the storms are actually a good thing. How do I know that? Because Romans 8 says they are. And God's word is true. Through the storms, we display the hope of Christ to the world around us. But God also uses the storms in life to break our hearts so that Christ's love can flow into our hearts, so it can in turn flow out of our hearts to the world around us in its brokenness. The truth is that God often uses broken things. It takes broken soil to produce a crop, broken clouds to give rain, broken grain to give bread, broken bread to give strength. It was a broken alabaster jar that gave forth the perfume that anointed Jesus before he was crucified. It was a broken Jesus who gave us life through his death on the cross. And I want you to know this. It's in the brokenness of our lives, in broken families, in broken churches, in broken communities, that the hope and love of Christ are the most clearly on display, shining out through the broken places. And just like a broken bone is stronger after it heals, God uses the storms of life to make us stronger. All things work for the good of those who love him. God uses the storms to strengthen our faith, to strengthen our love for him, and to drive us to him in complete dependence, just as surely as that man was driven back into the shelter of that lighthouse. We must never forget that when we find ourselves in the midst of a storm, God has a purpose in it, even when we can't see it. That's why it's so important that before the storms come and begin to shake our lives, that we make sure we have Christ at the center of our life. And the way we have God at the center of our life is to have Christ at the center of our life. God is our refuge and strength when Christ is at the center. We have a sure foundation when that's the case that cannot be shaken. Paul says in Ephesians 2:18 to 20, "For through him," speaking about Christ, "we have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you're no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone." At times when things in our world get in an upheaval, times when the seas roar and the mountains quake, it might seem like everything's coming apart beneath us. But those who put their faith in God will not be swallowed up by such events, because we have a firm foundation in Christ. Think, what is it that allows those lighthouses to keep standing firm as the waves pound away? It's the firm foundation. When the waters roar and the mountains shake, we can stand firm if our lives are built with Christ as the foundation. Charles Spurgeon wrote, "Faith rests on a firmer basis and is not to be moved by swelling seas. Evil may ferment, wrath may boil, and pride may foam, but the brave heart of holy confidence trembles not." Do you want to have a heart like that? Faith in Christ, your warrior king, is the only thing that will give you that holy confidence. Even when everything else seems to be against us, because of Jesus, Christians can remain at peace even in the fiercest of storms. But I also want you to notice that in Psalm 46, the psalmist doesn't just focus on the storms. He focuses on who our God is. Look again at verse 1. The psalmist tells us God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. I want you to see three things right there in that verse about God. First off, our God is a powerful God. Second, he's a protecting God. And third, he's a present God. Do you remember when Moses and Aaron faced Pharaoh in the book of Exodus? There was war between the false gods of Egypt and the true and powerful God of the universe. That's what that was. And God proved himself powerful over all those false gods. Do you remember the account of the 10 plagues? At first, the Egyptian magicians were able to keep up with Moses and seemed to be able to do the same miraculous things Moses could. But as time went by, it soon became clear that the God of Moses, the God of the Israelites, the God of the Bible, our God, was the real deal. It's important to note, however, that struggle didn't end overnight. There was a protracted battle between God and those false gods of Pharaoh. It took time. Why? Is it because God wasn't powerful enough? Of course not. Why does God sometimes not fix things right away and make things right? You need to understand God has a purpose in everything, even in a delay. Sometimes he's allowing time for repentance, for hearts to be broken, so they can be put back together again with Jesus. Sometimes he's seeking to provoke us to trust him more and believe him and have faith in his promises. And that's what God was doing with the Israelites. As Pharaoh refused repeatedly to let God's people go, it seemed like he was in control. It seemed like he was winning. God was just using Pharaoh's stubbornness, though, to display his power and might to Israel, so they would believe, their faith would grow, and they would trust him. Whatever God's reasons, we need to remember the words of the Bible commentator W.A. Criswell. The grist mill of God's justice grinds ever so slow, but ever so fine. God knows what he's doing, and he is able to do all things, and we must trust him. When the storms of life come, are you trusting in God's power? Are you trusting in your own strength? If you feel shaken this week, it's because you're looking to yourself rather than God. Are you willing to wait on God, or do you run off and immediately try to handle things yourself on your own? What if the man in the picture of that lighthouse had tried to stand against the waves on his own? He would have been swept away in the storm. As the storms swirl around us, as everybody's in upheaval, we must always remember that we have a powerful God who is our refuge and strength, and we can run to him. Think how vulnerable a man would be without the strength of a lighthouse to protect him from the waves and the storm. God is our refuge and strength. But what I really want you to do this morning is to make that personal. Not generically, he's our refuge and strength, but he is my refuge. He is my strength. Psalm 91, verses 1 to 4. Our personal recollection of God being a refuge and strength to the psalmist. He writes, "Those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. This I declare of the Lord, he alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God, and I am trusting him. For he will rescue you from every trap and protect you from the fatal plague. He will shield you with his wings. He will shelter you with his feathers. His faithful promises are your armor and protection." In Proverbs 18:10, Solomon tells us, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe." When the storms come, is that what you do? Do you trust God as your refuge and strength? Or do you try to stand on your own? I want you to know this morning that you are not a match for the world that you live in. If you do not have God as your refuge and your strength. But with God, as Paul writes in Romans 8:37, you are more than a conqueror. We can be confident that God's might and power is always there for us, that he will always be there as a refuge, because he is a present God. Verse 1 tells us that God is a very present help in trouble. Through his Spirit living in us, his presence is in us. Think about that. With the Holy Spirit in you, God is in you. You cannot be moved. You cannot be shaken. with the Holy Spirit in you, you are also the arms and legs and hands and feet and mouth of Jesus to a community, a nation, a world that is in upheaval, that is being shaken. Jesus said in John 7, 37 to 39, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. For as yet the Spirit had not been given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Do you see what John is teaching us there as he remembers the words of Jesus? He's teaching us of the connection between what Jesus said about streams of living water flowing from us and the Holy Spirit coming upon us. Because the Holy Spirit is in you, whether you realize it or not, there are streams of living water ready to flow from you to the world around you to bring comfort and healing and peace in times of trouble. Psalm 46 verses 4 and 5. Do you hear the words? "There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns." There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. There is a safe place in the midst of the calamities of life. In this age, you know what the city of God is? It's the church. That's where rivers of life flow. That's where the river whose streams make glad the city of God flows from. When you are part of Christ's church, think of how safe a refuge that is. You are covered with the roof of God's grace. You are surrounded by the walls of faith. You are built on the best foundation, which is God's Word. You have the best communication system, which is prayer. You have the best defense system, the Holy Spirit. And you have the best commander-in-chief, our warrior king, Jesus Christ. But I want you to know this. The church is not just a refuge, a place to run to and hide. It's a lighthouse of hope to those who are hurting, because in its members, the church is the presence of Jesus. Out of the church flows streams of living water. That's what we're here for in times like this. It's so easy to focus on ourselves when the seas roar and the mountains quake. But we have to remember, we're in the presence of Christ, and we are the presence of Christ to people who are hurting, to people who are scared, to people who are frightened. We are a lighthouse of hope, standing against the howling storms that rage around us. Christ and his church, if you think about it, represent all three of those attributes of God the psalmist listed in verse 1. As lighthouses of hope, Christ and his church represent the power of God, the protection of God, and the presence of God to lives that are being tossed about by the storms of life. And as his church, we can trust in the power of Christ, because think about it. Christ has overcome the fiercest storm of all. Everything and everyone was against him as he hung on the cross. Even God the Father turned his back on Jesus as he was dying. Jesus went to the cross, and you know what he did there? At the cross, he defeated the power of Satan and sin and death. The biggest storms we'll face in this life. Do you really think this coronavirus or Wu flu is any match for Jesus? Christ is our warrior king who fights for us and protects us. And Christ has promised his presence to be with us wherever we go, in whatever storm we may find ourselves in. Jesus said in Matthew 28:20 that he is with us always. A church, person that keeps itself centered on the foundation of Christ, will be a place through which the power of Christ can be displayed, the protection of Christ given, and the presence of Christ felt in a very real way. This is what we are called to be as his followers. You see, the storms are real. God is a comforting God. That's why he's left us here on earth, to be a comfort to those around us. God's people have a calling when going through trials. Look at verse 2 again. What is it the psalmist says we will not do? We will not fear. Fear, do you know what it is? It's the absence of faith. When I was a boy, The truth is, I was a big scaredy cat. Yeah, I drove a motorcycle very fast, but I was afraid of lots of things. I was on a camping trip when I was probably not much older than Miles. I was with a group of boys from our church, and they were running and jumping across a creek. One side of the bank was higher than the other, and it wasn't a very wide creek. And I thought, well, I needed to do that too. But I had no faith I'd actually make it across. I started running to get a good start, and then just when it came time to leap, I froze. I stopped. But then I realized everybody was watching, so I went ahead and jumped. And of course, I landed right in the middle of the creek. If my faith had overcome my fear, I would have made it fine. But my fear overcame my faith, and I ended up right smack dab in the middle of the creek. That happens to us a lot. Rather than our faith winning over fear, we begin to fear. And that's when we get in trouble. What would happen if, as the waves grew, that man in the lighthouse, think about it, what would happen if he lost his faith in the lighthouse and began to fear the lighthouse was going to crumble and come apart? Where would he be if he ran out into the storm? Do you realize, though, how often we do that exact same thing spiritually? Rather than standing firm on the foundation of Christ, we panic and we begin to fear. It's happened to me, and I've seen it happen to so many others. When the storms come, people give up on church. Rather than running to church and finding refuge, they run and hide. And they withdraw. These times we live in, they're frightening times. Everything's closing down, even Disney World. The market's crashing. There's not even toilet paper in the stores. People are scared. But in frightening times, we must look to Christ to give us something greater than our fear. Earlier, I read to you from the first part of this verse. Now let me read you the whole verse, John 16:33. I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. Jesus has indeed overcome the world. And through faith in him, we can too. Earlier, we read responsibly from Psalm 37. Listen to the words of David one more time. And as you listen, pay attention to what God's word calls us to do in the midst of the storms of life. Psalm 37. Don't worry about the wicked. Don't envy those who do wrong. For like grass, they soon fade away. Like springtime flowers, they soon wither. Trust in the Lord and do good. Then you will live in safety in the land and prosper. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you your heart's desires. Commit everything you do to the Lord. Trust him, and he will help you. He will make your innocence as clear as the dawn, and the justice of your cause will shine like the noonday sun. Be still in the presence of the Lord and wait patiently for him to act. Do you see all the commands to us in those verses? Don't worry. Trust. Do good. Take delight in the Lord. Commit everything you do to the Lord. Be still. Wait patiently for him. Do you know what that is? It's faith. Can you do that? All the promises of God are attached to faith, to that command for us to trust, to believe. Well, we do that in times of trouble, when the storms are raging all around us. These present problems that we find ourselves in, how are they going to work themselves out? When is God going to do something? Look again at verse 5 of Psalm 46. God will help her when the morning dawns. What's that saying? It's always darkest before the dawn. It's in the midst of the darkness that the light of God breaks through. It's when we feel most alone that God is most present. God will be with you through the dark times of life. He'll even be with you in the darkness of a violent storm. He is here. As Psalm 42:8 says, in the night, his song is with you. Whatever darkness you find yourself in, remember this, the night will not last forever. Weeping may go on all night, but joy comes in the morning. So in these uncertain times, trust God. Wait patiently on him. It's easy to let our calamities overwhelm us till we lose sight of God, and then we start doing crazy things. We must learn to be still long enough to remember who God is and what God is doing. In the midst of the storms, we need to wait and behold the works of the Lord. Look at verse 8 of Psalm 46. Come and behold the works of the Lord. Remember what He's done in the past. Remember what He has promised He will do. Be still long enough to see things from God's perspective. God's not bound by time. God is at work and He is sovereign and in control. Don't forget how the book ends. You know how it ends. We win. Christ, our warrior king, secures the victory for us. There's an old Norwegian tale about a fisherman who, with his two sons, went out on their daily fishing run. The catch was good, but by mid-afternoon, a sudden storm came and it blotted out the shoreline, leaving the men groping for their direction home. While they were lost at sea, a fire broke out in the kitchen of their rustic cottage. Before it could be extinguished, the fire destroyed all the family's earthly possessions. Everything was lost. But finally, the father and his sons made their way back to shore. The man's wife was waiting to tell him the tragic news of the fire. "Carl, fire has destroyed everything," she said tearfully. "We have nothing left." But Carl was unmoved by the news. "Did you hear me?" she asked. "The house is gone." "Yes, I hear you," replied Carl. "But for hours, we were lost at sea. For hours, I thought we would perish. And then something happened. I saw a dim yellow glow in the distance, and it grew larger and larger, and we turned our boat toward the light. The same blaze that destroyed our home was the light that saved our lives." We don't always understand what God's doing. We don't always understand why the storms come to our life, to the world around us, but know this. Each of the storms that come into our life are an opportunity for the light and love of Christ to shine out of our lives to the world around us. Your life, our church, is a lighthouse of hope, because we are built on the firm foundation of Christ, and nothing can move us. We don't know where this storm or others will lead us. We don't know what tomorrow looks like. All we have is this moment we live in today, and we know who our God is. In the midst of the storms, remember our God is with us. Think about this. Verse 11, Psalm 46. The Lord of hosts is with us. The angel armies are with us. As John Wesley lay dying, he tried to speak. At last, with all the strength he had, he cried out, "The best of all is God is with us." Again, raising his hand and waving it in triumph, he exclaimed with thrilling effect, "The best of all, God is with us." Do you have that confidence? Do you know for certain this morning that God is with you? God can be in the person of Jesus Christ if you will just trust Christ as your Lord and Savior and allow Him to be the center of your life. And if you've already done that, if you're already a Christian, remember this. Remember who your God is. Look to Him in faith. Trust Him. When storms come and batter your life, run to Him, because Christ alone is the cornerstone. Christ alone is your warrior king. And through His victorious life, no matter how the seas roar, no matter how the mountains quake, it is guaranteed, because it is written in God's word, that you are more than a conqueror. Let's pray.